Thank you, Pastor. And thanks for all musicians that have been a real blessing to me. I believe we were challenged before we ever got into any, even in the Word of God, because of the challenges that we've heard in Scripture through the singing and through the playing. So thank you to each one. Thank you, community leaders, for being here. This is very special for all of us, because it really does, in the whole community, your opportunity to work with neighbors is always important. And this group wants to work with you. They want to honor you. It's biblical. Jesus Christ is our hero. He's the most important one. And amazingly how he not only taught the place of authorities in our life, he actually instituted it. So we're happy to call him Lord in this place. And I know you'll find these folks very good neighbors to you. But thank you for what you do in our community. We greatly appreciate it. If you will please turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. It's basically in the middle of your Bible after Isaiah. You know, when you talk about challenging the church, we know it's for the church is not a building. The church is the people. And God has chosen the church as his symbolic bride. The bride of Christ is his church. He is the one who loves the church so much that he gave himself for it. And that's why we're here. We have the privilege of being the ones, the beneficiaries of someone else's sacrifice, even though we were undeserving. In Jeremiah chapter 17, this is a pithy, not pitiful, I mean pithy, a short, brief, but very clear indication of the most important thing in your life is the disposition of your heart toward God. The most important thing to you and to me is how, when I look in the face of God, who do I see? Who is he? What does he do? How important is he to my life? If he is truly the Creator God, if he is truly the one that set the whole world in motion, and we believe that, if he is truly the Lord and the King and the one to whom we bow the knee, then it's very important as we look to him, the relation of our heart toward him. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. The book of Jeremiah is about 20 sermons of his. They're not even necessarily chronologically arranged. But being the weeping prophet, what do you mean? It's because he had to tell people hard things. And he did. And wherever he was going to, they hadn't heard the word, "Don't kill the messenger," all right? Because they were out to get him. And one of the big promises God gave Jeremiah, if you can think this and put this in your category of blessings, the promise he said, when they try to kill you, I'll protect you. Not if, but when. And it happened over and over. God preserved him. Every once in a while, the Lord would give him liberty not to just talk about the heavy things of a nation who had turned her back on the one that had delivered them, but he got the opportunity to talk to people individually. Through this particular passage, you're going to see that he has a burden for you and me. And I want to say, just corporately, but individually as a church, here is your burden. Here is your opportunity to be of service to God at Foster Creek Baptist Church in Hanahan. So let's read this passage beginning in verse 5, chapter 17, if you have your scriptures. And in verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Ah, but blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Let's pray. Dear Father, in these few verses, we can gauge the disposition of our heart toward the one who created us, toward the one to whom we're responsible. And we can plant ourselves in the place that's most advantageous to be fruitful, to be a joy to people and not a drain to people, to be a help to people, not a hindrance to people. And I would ask that as we spend these few minutes in charge to those that are members here, perhaps prospective members here, we realize that the blessing is not the fact that we're members of anything. It's that we're a part of the body, the visible body of Jesus Christ, as he manifests himself through a local group of people. And I pray that this will be a fruitful place in the vineyard that you have prepared. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we look at transplant, and this church is a plant, a new plant, a transplant, but it all is basically the same. I'm not too much of an agrarian, I'll have to tell you, more or less a city boy, but I've got a dictionary. Dictionary says, to transplant is to lift and reset a plant in another soil or another situation. And that pretty simply is what's going on here. We've taken something living and we've taken it and it's being transplanted. It's being planted right here where we are in a different soil, a different situation. And this particular passage of Scripture has real in tone of Psalm 1. A lot of you know Psalm 1. And when you start thinking of blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And you're going to find out that that's exactly what's being said here. The importance of delighting yourself in the soil, in the water that is the best place to be able to be nourished and to keep on doing what you're doing in the right way. But of course, there's bad news. It says, first of all, cursed is the one, the man who puts his trust in man. That word cursed, you know, it's not a very pleasant sounding word, it isn't. It means hemmed in, boxed in, not able to move in any direction. Cursed be the man, cornered, constricted, exposed to judgment is the man that does what? That puts his trust in man. You know, this is kind of interesting because that is saying man, of whom you and I hope everyone in here is in that category, and not saying man person, I'm talking about you're a human being with flesh on. Everybody falls in that category. Well, that means that there are two choices here. One of them is man, and one of them is all other than man. And that would be one, God. It says restricted and confined is someone, cursed and boxed in is someone who puts their trust in man. Why? Because man has a beginning, man has an end. God has always been infinite wisdom, love, righteousness, power, strength, and he is the all other that we're looking for. Because a man that's saying, okay, I'm putting my trust in anything, leaders, friends, anyone else who is not God, then we've got a problem. Trust Cursed is the man that trusteth in man, who's got a wrong trust. The word trust means to believe to the point to where I rely on this. When we talk about trusting in man, it's like trusting in anyone but God, anyone who is not God. That's not where we want to be caught, because we can't depend on man, because it says, curses the man that trusteth in man and makes flesh his arm. He assigns a task to himself and says, self, this is what we can pull off. This is what we can do. Well, you know, trusting in the arm of the flesh is trusting in anything but God. So it's wrong to trust in anyone but God, anything but God. It's not my personality or knowledge or abilities. It's got to be God alone. I don't assign a task and say, I'll promise you I will pull this off. Because we can't even promise ourselves a day of breathing in and breathing out. God knows, and he even keeps that power. But cursed is the man that makes flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Interestingly, that we assume that a one who relies on man is taking a step away from God. Church. We realize that even in building a church, even in working in a church, then you've got to remember that your reliance is not on talents or abilities or even other men, because that's the wrong way. It's a wandering heart. It's a way of moving away from God. For he shall be like a heath in the desert. It means a shriveled up bush. And it says he shall not see when good comes. So the heart that has wandered away from God by trusting in a man who is finite and can't even say what he'll be doing from one day to the next or what health he will do it in, and his heart wanders from God, then that particular man, having wandered away, is like a shriveled up bush. Now, I don't frequent deserts too many times, that's for sure, but I read about an agave plant, which in the desert, it spends its whole lifetime making a shoot that produces one pod that shrivels up and dies. And maybe, just maybe, from that pod comes one more plant that spends its life reproducing one pod of seeds, and then it dies again. So this particular bush is in the desert, in the wasteland. Wasteland, there's no sustenance going on, nothing supernatural going on here. That's what happens with a person who goes and wanders away from his God. There's nothing supernatural going on in their life. Do you realize every time we obey the word, the commands of God, and we're taking a step of faith to do it, then of course behind that obedience, behind that faith, is the working of an eternal God. So keep your faith centered on who God is, not on a man, because we want to see supernatural things, things that can only be explained by God in a place like this. It says, for he shall not see when good cometh. What does that mean? This shriveled up bush in the desert can't even tell when something good's happening. Well, what do you mean by good? Well, all good is defined by the Lord anyway. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into multicolored trials. That's good, because the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So good things come in packages that to us humanly may not seem so good. Well, a shriveled up bush is not seeing that. The one that trusteth in man is not seeing that. God brings trials, but you know what? God brings blessings too. Man is tending to look at blessings that come from God and say, I deserve that. Actually, I deserve more than that. Actually, I deserve more than that other person over there. But you know, that is not true. God is suiting to you. And those of you who have walked with him, you know that good comes in different packages. Some of the things are difficult. Or we trust in the Lord for his provision. Sometimes it's just a blessing that he bestows on you, that he gives to you, that you recognize, I'm not deserving, but I'm so thankful. God can bring blessings, and we sometimes can be not grateful and miss the point. The heart, not in reality of what God is doing, that's the shriveled up bush. He shall inhabit something that's among the desert. He takes up space in parched places, places that are lifeless, have no water. It's kind of a volcanic lava, and it's a waterless place. Ah, I want to get to the good point. But church, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose trust or reliance the Lord is. We're talking about dependence on God. He believes to the point of relying on God. He's in a state of safety and security. He's free from danger except what God allows. It's one of the hearts that says, my hope is in who God is and what he does. Let me ask you, how often do you dig into the Word and just read the Bible with this in mind? Who is God? What does he do? What is God? Who is he? What can he do? And you'll find that the Bible just pops alive with things that he is doing for you every single day. We have to know about this God in order to trust. You don't tend to trust someone you do not know. But you know, if you dive into God's Word, you're going to get to where you actually say, God does this. He's the one that's a keeper. He's strong here. He is able to do this. This is who he is. This is what he does. God defined blessings of good that come when we put our hope in God. Now, hope, by the way, doesn't sound like a very strong word. Like, is your car going to make it another 5 years? Well, I hope so. You know what that means? Uncertainty of the future. Okay. You know what biblical hope is? Biblical hope is I anticipate good that comes because of who God is. I anticipate the blessing of God because I know who he is. I anticipate his blessing because of who he is, because he never changes. The Word of God is always the same. The God of the Bible is always the same. He will do exactly what he says. I'd better put my hope in something that I know that won't change rather than put it, my hope is something that I have an uncertainty of the future. That's why we run to Christ for salvation, by the way, because we have sin heavy on us. Jesus Christ came and died and lived a perfect life to give you and deposit his righteousness to your account. That's why we hope in Jesus Christ. We don't hope that our good outweighs our bad. We have a standard of hope that says, I anticipate my sins being forgiven because I've trusted in Christ, whose hope the Lord is. You know what the difference between occupations are? We've got some people that have got some really exciting occupations in this room. I've talked to several of you. Let me tell you something about one of my occupations. When I get up in the morning, I've got a Mr. Coffee, 4-cup. That's my coffee pot. And boy, I put my 2 scoops of Dunkin' Donuts in there, and I am the captain of that coffee pot. I know exactly what's going to come when I put that in, turn it on, and I am the... But you know what? There's another somebody that I'd like to read about, and that's in Job chapter 38. If you can flip back your Bible, there's those that have it. Otherwise, just listen, because I want you to tell you something about God, about who he is. Job chapter 38. It's interesting how the Lord, when he created the heavens and the earth, called the sea his little baby, because it says when he birthed the seas, then what he did was he wrapped it in a cloud, and as if he said, thus you will go and no further, and there shall your waves be stayed. What he was actually saying is, the ocean is my toddler, and I can put him in the playpen. And sometimes when that toddler gets out, you guys know above all people what can happen. But this is the power of God. But he says also that he makes up the morning. Where were you when I made the morning? When I allowed allowed the daybreak, the day to come up? You know, it suddenly hit me that what I'm looking at in my life is that while I am making coffee, God is making morning. That's the difference between his occupation and my occupation. I can be a champion of that four cup coffee maker, but it's only God who's the captain of all the morning, who makes the morning. And so we better know of something about making sure I don't get the confusion as to what God's place is in mine. Now, I'm being silly in that illustration, but when you talk about his occupation and power aside from mine, it makes all the sense in the world that we trust in God and God alone. It says in verse 8, back to Jeremiah chapter 17, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be anxious in the year of drought, neither cease from yielding fruit. What it says here, that tree that is transplanted by the waters, that's spreading out of her roots by the river, that heat is going to come and throw everything it has at this plant, at this tree. And this tree says, you would say, hey tree, did you know there's a horrible drought, that the sun is baking like we've never seen it before? And the tree's going to say, I didn't notice that. Why? Because it is planted by the rivers of water, and she has spread out her roots by the river, and so she doesn't even notice when the heat comes. But her leaf remains green and shall not be even scared or anxious in the year of drought, and not cease from yielding fruit. As a tree, she has characteristics of a tree: fruit, shade, fuel, oxygen, storage capacity. But you know, when that tree is transplanted in a luxurious soil that is made perfect by the waters, then you've got something that's unbeatable and unquenchable and will always be fruitful. This challenge is quite simple. Your disposition of your heart toward God is, I must be planted where he lives. I must be planted by the waters. I must be planted in his soil. I must be planted in the place where I draw my nourishment not from the baking sun, but because I'm planted where I am. Then I realize that even though the sun may be beating furiously and the drought might be heavy, I won't even notice it in my soul, because I have sunk my roots deeply in the luxurious soil and in the waters. That's what God is saying. Blessed is the man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the lesson that you and I must take. Our disposition as a church must be to hear and to do the words of God. To plant yourself and draw your nourishment on God, who he is and what he has done, and what he continues to do. You know, if you do that, you're going to find out that God is sovereign, in control, powerful, loving, gracious, merciful, forgiving, kind, and the list goes on. These are all the things that he is to us. But you and I need to know that I want to be a fruitful little tree exactly where God has planted me. You cannot skip steps. You must be in the words of God. And I hope even every day. You know, a lot of people just kind of throw a little bit of promise that way. But really, you're not ready to meet life until you meet a trial and you say, what do I know about my God? Ah, he is in control. This did not escape his loving hand in my life. This is something that he is graciously giving me, and he will give me the strength to be able to bear this. I know he's done this because he wants to approve me as his child. And this is not work salvation, folks. It's not that I work in order to be made ready for heaven. It's because I love my God. I know who he is. And when the trials or when the good things come, I know to give him the credit and the blessing of it. And when the hard things come, I know to put my reliance on him and not on a man. Cursed is the man that trusts in man. He shall be like a heath in the desert. Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. So church, don't skip the word. Stay there. Challenge your pastor to the point to where, hey, if you say, I need to know more about that. Tell me more about that. But that's going to be the key to the stability of the church, is the drawing upon the eternal words of God as your help and stay. So God bless you as you are the kind of Christians that say, the Word of God is not an add-on. It is my life. It is what I do as a Christian. Dear Father, I thank you for the people who have, first of all, come here because this has been a blessing to see. Thank you for the community leaders, their place in your economy, your way of doing things. I pray that you would protect them, guide and guard their hearts. For the members here, I just ask, Lord, that you would help us to not forget to be fruitful trees by abiding in the right kind of soil. And I pray that we'll be planted by the rivers of living water every single day. We pray in Christ's name.